welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 67 for August 27th. With me today, we have Andy Gergen.
What's up, Neil Ronahan?
Not too much. We got Mike Sklens coming
Hello,
from Florida.
Hello, everybody.
And also from Florida, but I guess not that nearby because Florida's fucking gigantic. We have special guest Carl Castaneda.
I feel really special.
Yeah, you should.
You should.
You're the special kid.
No, the NWR Newscast is my favorite NWR podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. That's excellent. Kids Table Strikes Back.
Don't take that too seriously. I say that when
Carl,
did
we actually ever host an RFN together?
What do you mean?
Like, were we ever on Radio Free Nintendo at the same time outside of, like, a PAX panel?
You and I?
Yeah.
Dude,
you
guys were on like 40 or 50 episodes consecutively.
Dude, you and I have recorded dozens of episodes of RFN next to each other. Literally next to each other.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I guess that's why I didn't think of it, because I'm used to talking to people over Skype and you were physically on the couch next to me, so it's a little different.
I just think of as
hanging out with my buddy Carl.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Also, I was probably
so many episodes.
All of them.
So many episodes. Anyway.
All right, let's get this show on the road. We'll start off with some interesting Wii U rumors that have been going around that basically that shit is fucked. So what's going on is that there was a leak from a Nintendo insider that was basically saying that the chip that's used in the Wii U controller sucks. And the only way they can get it to actually stream to that effectively is with this cable that hooks it up so it's not wireless at all. And that still looks like shit. And there's constant updates. Like, I think they said quasi-daily was the quote from the article. That's how many updates are being sent out for the system. It also mentioned that it was set for June 2012, which is, I mean, it's still, this is unconfirmed, but it's from a pretty trusted source, actually. One of the sources that leaked the Wii U's origins to begin with back when it got leaked before E3. But it said June 2012, but the way it's looking is that it would likely be delayed until September 2012 because of all these troubles with it. And, I mean, combine that with the stuff that, like, the Wii U got bounced from Gamescom, things might be a little suspect with the Wii U.
Well,
what do you guys think?
I mean, if you compare it to what we knew about the Wii at this point, I mean, at this point in the Wii's life cycle, you know, I guess would have been, what now? What, about 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Compared to what we knew about it then?
Six.
I mean, we already had pretty definite specs as far as, like, what was going to be in that, you know.
Yeah, two GameCubes and duct tape.
it was pretty clear, you know. I think sometime after that, I think, you know, internally we had our spec sheet that had the real numbers on there. So the fact that they're still finalizing hardware as basic as what's going to be in the controller is a little bit troubling.
Well, I think it's not that they're... Well, I mean, I guess they are going to have to figure that out, but I think it's just what they have in the controller is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I've talked about this before, but that Wii U controller is really, really shitty.
It feels like a dream, in all honesty. Like, I mean, not to lord it over you guys, but I fucking touched the thing.
Well, I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about the ergonomics so much. I think it's a fine controller from a design standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's great at that.
Yeah, that was never really much of an issue for me. I mean, obviously upon seeing it at first, it looks a little big, but everyone seems to like, you know, the way it feels, so no big deal. But as far as the actual specs of what they're putting in that controller just seem kind of ridiculous. You know, without getting too heavily into it, the fact that they're still using resistive touch in 2011, i.e. Palm Trio technology from the 1990s, is fucking ridiculous.
That seems a little suspect to me, and that combined with the fact that we are hearing that the streaming chip in the controller or whatever it is not up to snuff makes me think that it seems like they're trying to keep their production costs very low so they can, you know, Nintendo has traditionally always wanted to turn a profit on hardware, which is not something that any other game console manufacturer has typically been invested in. So it seems to me like they're trying to keep the component costs low so they can, you know, try and turn a profit on the hardware, which it sounds like maybe biting them in the ass a little bit. But then again, it's really early. The daily update or almost daily update thing, that doesn't shock me at all. I mean, I don't think that would be that uncommon in the development lifecycle of a system like this at this point in time.
It's not. No, it's fine.
You know, maybe it's a hair more common, a little... but
I think maybe that the quasi like the quasi daily updates are happening at this point, because if they were shooting for June 2012, that's, you know, 9 months away.
Yeah, and it does seem it'd be smarter. Obviously, they're going to shoot for June 2012, so they have room to delay it.
Yeah.
If they shoot for November and they end up needing to delay it, then they're screwed. Yeah. If they shoot for June, they've got like 4 months of delay they can add into there if they need to.
This is all well and good.
That Nintendo's official line was, I guess, April 2012 to December 2012 is the range for it. This June 2012 just came out of the rumor.
This is all well and good, but like, honestly... the system is almost a year away from coming out. Like, who expects the tech to be perfect at this point?
I don't think that the issue somewhat, like, look, if it was a case of Nintendo hadn't finalized the hardware specifications of the machine itself, I don't think that would be nearly as big of a deal. Hardware manufacturers never really finalize their clock speeds until close up to the release anyway. That's not really so much of an issue. But this is the core functionality of the controller.
Yeah, it's pretty much like what the entire system's hook is.
But that is exactly why it doesn't surprise me that they haven't got it quite right yet. Because this is, I mean, the machine itself, I mean, the Xbox 360 came out in 2005. They've had plenty of time to analyze that level of hardware and get it right. Like, that's not the hard part. The hard part is the controller, which hasn't been done before. And honestly, I can very well envision a similar report coming out about a year before the Wii launched, saying, "Oh my God, guys, we got a Wii remote in our hand, and this thing does not do one-to-one tracking. They're showing you doing sword fighting in the commercials. It doesn't do that." Like, I mean, and it took us about a year and a half after the Wii came out to kind of finally come to terms with the fact that it doesn't do what they told us it would do.
To be fair, the technology for this kind of streaming stuff does exist. I mean, I can shoot a video from my iPhone or my iPad over to my Apple TV, and it's like practically a flawless implementation.
Okay, well,
right. The A4 in an iPhone is just ARM, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an ARM based chip. Yeah,
yeah, it's ARM based, and isn't that similar to what they've got in the Wii U controller?
I think the ARM chip is in 3DS and DS.
It wouldn't surprise me if they stuck.
Yeah, ARM makes a lot of mobile chips, but I guess the difference when you look at it is that Apple has never been one to shy away from cheap, you know, from expensive components. They'll put good shit in their stuff, and they will make you pay for it. Nintendo has always been not; they haven't been on the complete opposite end, but they've definitely always shied towards a more budget-friendly product on some level.
But I mean, don't get me wrong.
Time, Apple's really well known for also not putting the highest of the high end, you know, chips in their stuff anyway, and they just optimized the system, the OS around it. So
I don't want to get into too much of a diatribe about Apple, but I don't think that's the case anymore for Apple. Intel's best processors are going into Apple's computers at this point, and Intel is making their processors for Apple's computers now.
Well, I mean, honestly, apparently Nintendo can't quite figure out what to do about the Wii U's technology, but that doesn't really surprise me because the entire message behind the Wii U seems conflicted. It seems, we don't want to give up this strong Wii U branding that's not doing well with casual, or that's only doing well with casual market, but we want to market to the hardcore, so we're going to put, you know, Darksiders 2 on there, but we're not going to show Darksiders 2, we're going to show New Super Mario Brothers Mii. Like, to me, they have no idea how to market this damn thing to begin with. So, like, this is just the latest stage of massive confusion on their part.
I mean, look, I think if you look at Nintendo in general lately, they just seem to be going in five different directions at once. So it doesn't really seem to be too surprising that they can't really get their shit together when it comes to this fucking controller. Like, am I saying that the Wii U controller is going to come out and it's going to be screwy? No. Nintendo's smarter than that. They're going to obviously have this stuff fixed. Probably within the next few months it'll be finalized, and I'm sure it'll be fine. But I think the larger issue at hand here is that I don't think Nintendo really knows what they want out of this freaking console.
No, the problem is they know what they want.
A very mixed message.
Or they want
too much. They want everyone. They want the same thing everyone company wants. They just want your money. But, like, are they specifically going after casuals, or are they specifically going after hardcores? Because you can't do both.
Yeah, they're trying to please all of the people all of the time.
Yeah, you can't please everyone all the time. Like, that is just basic marketing. Like,
yeah.
You have to pick an audience at some
point. If you're doing that, your product is a commodity. It's like toilet paper. Like,
also,
exactly.
June, June, is that a good idea after the, like, debacle of the 3DS, like, coming out so poorly?
That's
why they have
to. September would be way more likely.
June seems such a bad idea.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe
the reason for June also is that, I mean, all the rumors are pointing to Microsoft unveiling a new console next June at E3.
Yeah.
And you might want to kind of get that system to launch before, you know, details are known about the new Microsoft system.
On one end, that's a good idea. But on the other, like, on one end, that's a good idea. Like, Microsoft was first out of the gate and the Xbox 360 has a huge lead. But on the opposite spectrum, if that backfires, you're in Dreamcast territory where you have a brilliant system out and it just gets buried by the competition immediately.
Because you got to think there would be, I mean, if it comes out, I mean, regardless, it's coming out in 2012 unless anything catastrophic happens. And that's going to be, you know, at least a year on the competition.
Mm, absolutely, yeah. I mean, honestly, everyone's saying that Microsoft's going to unveil their next console at next year at E3. I think it's possible that they might even not. I mean, with Kinect selling so well, I think Microsoft's going to milk that for all it's worth. If they can last another 2 years without releasing a console, they probably will.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they announced it next year, but it definitely won't release until 2013 at the earliest.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
most definitely.
You know, there's going to be at least a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe even 2 years of the Wii U being on equal footing with the PS3 and Xbox. So that doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, the Wii was already the weakest system of the three when it was out. So having the same thing again, you know, it's not really new territory there. I think everyone kind of expects that. But I think the issue here is that there's sort of a big mixed message going on with what Nintendo's going with what Nintendo's doing. They're saying. This, you know, they shaped it like a freaking Xbox 360. Like, it's pretty clear what they're trying to adapt to, but at the same time, they can't. Like I said, big mixed message. They don't know if they want the casuals or if they want the hardcore.
Yeah.
So, what do they want? I don't know.
All right.
I just want capacitive touch. That's all I want. Is that so much? Is that so hard? Is that so?
I just want more than 3.5 hours of battery life on the controller.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. I wouldn't count on it, though.
Let's move on to the second ridiculous Nintendo-related story that also from the same source. There is a rumor that the 3DS will add a second circle pad, which would attach to it in some way and be sold for $10. And there would also be a substantial hardware redesign that would include this second circle pad, and that would come out in, I believe, 2012 sometime. And there's also, I think, some of the rumors, I believe it was translated from French, and there was
from the same website
over whether it was the 3DS successor or just a hardware redesign. But I think the concept of a 3DS successor would be batshit insane.
It'd be more of a reboot.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Have we time traveled to late 2006, and are we talking about the PSP? Because that's what this feels like. You know, it's like, we got to put a second analog stick on there, and we got to put out a new redesign, because obviously the sales aren't catching up. I don't think it's going to happen.
This is insane.
In all honesty, I think this fall is going to be fine. The 3DS is going to sell very well. It doesn't really have any major competition. I mean, the Vita's not coming out in North America or Europe this year. I think it might come out in Japan. Right. And, I mean, what other hot ticket item is there going to be? Okay, you have some big games coming out, but even still.
Sure.
The idea of a
price, the bundles, the holiday bundles that I'm sure they're going to have. I mean, this thing's going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's the only
Mario game. You got a new Mario Kart.
It's the only new piece of gaming technology out this year. Somehow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to clean up. I have no doubt about it.
The very idea of a add-on second analog stick is complete insanity to me. There's just like, this is segmenting the market all over again. It's Wii Motion Plus all over again.
Yep. Absurd. I mean, I'm sure it might be something they would have looked into, but it is not going to be something that happens.
Yeah.
Where would it even plug in?
Yeah.
Just aside from an aesthetic standpoint, where it doesn't make sense, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, what is it really going to add to the 3DS experience, a second analog stick? Not much.
It would make Kid Icarus way more playable.
honestly, I've always been a fan of the aiming with the touchscreen. I like it.
I would
have
been more for the fact that it's fucking impossible as a lefty. But I did hear.
Oh, well, yeah.
I talked
you were
well,
born wrong.
I think I wrote a news article about this back at E3, but talking to like one of the – it was up in like – because we had the interview with Mark Franklin, and Aaron, Jared, and I were at the interview, and we were up on like the fucking loft, the Nintendo loft. And we finished with the interview, and then we sat down, and then some like one of the girls that was working up there was just like, "You want to play some games?" So we just sat there and played all the Nintendo's 3DS games for like an hour. But I was playing Kid Icarus and made a comment about how pissed off I was because it's like, I wish I could play this easier because I'm a lefty. Right. And she made some comment about like, I think there's a left-handed mode. So not the most reliable source, but they might work something in there. I think it would be smart to have some kind of option.
I guess you could always use the face buttons as if it was like a D-pad.
You could use the face buttons as a D-pad and the D-pad as the face buttons, technically, I guess.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't sound very
But then you don't have analog control.
It would be better than nothing.
Yeah, sure. I suppose. I mean, for you gotta give something to the lefties. Life's so hard already.
Fuck you.
But I mean, I don't know. I kind of like that control scheme. So I've never been a detractor for that kind of stuff. I liked it in Hunters, and I liked it in Icarus when I played it at PAX. I don't know why people are down on that game. Like whenever I've heard like Johnny talk crap about Kid Icarus, like
I don't like the
good.
Multiplayer.
I didn't play the multiplayer pack, so I don't know if that's
that wasn't at PAX.
But yeah, I want to play more of it. It's just it's difficult for me.
What I played at PAX was awesome. It was like Sin and Punishment. It was great.
It's Kid and Punishment.
I'm super
Kid and Punishment. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, but I mean, who knows when that game's even coming out? Until
I know, right?
Europe,
they keep freaking delaying it,
and we haven't heard shit about it.
It's not coming out here this year, definitely not.
What is
Sora is not the kind of developer that is gonna. They're gonna take
I have a feeling we'll probably get either Luigi's Mansion or Kid Icarus in like January or February of 2012, and the other one we'll get.
Isn't Luigi's Mansion already? Wasn't Luigi already confirmed for like? By the end of this fiscal year, at least they wouldn't. Here's the thing: Nintendo wouldn't have shown it at E3 if it wasn't going to be out by the end of the fiscal year. I don't think they've ever shown a game unless they've explicitly said this is not coming out this fiscal year.
Sure, unless it's like a Zelda game, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, Other M was Other M was a while.
Yeah, but these like fringe franchises are never like shown way far enough.
I mean, Luigi's Mansion I think is pretty much a lock for early 2012. Next Level Games is usually good at hitting deadlines. Mm-hmm. I mean, Project Sora, obviously it's going to get delayed. I think we'll see it in early 2012 at the latest.
Yeah. I mean, it's always looked pretty far along anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. They probably just need more content.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we want to talk about anything else that came out of Gamescom?
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about Kirby's Return to Dreamland has an October 24th release date. That's pretty cool.
Finally, the multiple Kirby game that they showed.
There's actually
going to
be, you can play as four Kirbys at once, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, longtime readers of the site will remember that Planet GameCube debuted the first screens of this game back in like 2004, 2005. Like, that's basically when...
I don't even remember that.
Dude, it was the one with, like, Kirby with, like, Day-Day-Day, like, stack
you can do
them,
that
and there were, like,
in,
another
in
person.
The
was, like, yeah, like, that game's been in development hell for so many years. Well, it's finally coming out. Maybe
I mean, I really liked what I played at E3, so I'm hopeful. And it's coming out October
24th. Mm-hmm. Did you guys want to mention that... Europe, and I would assume other regions are going to get this gimped Wii that doesn't play GameCube games.
Oh, yeah. What's the deal with that?
I don't understand this. Isn't it just GameCube hardware inside of... are they saving money by stripping... It's not like there's an extra chip in there, is there? I don't think there is, so...
Well, the Broadway and Hollywood are just plays off of the Gecko and the other thing. I don't remember.
Yeah, if it's the same chipset and... Like, with the PlayStation, when the PlayStation 3 first came out, it was backwards compatible because it had, like, a PlayStation 2. It had a PlayStation 2 system on a chip inside there.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the cost of manufacturing the controller ports.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe. Man, are they that cheap?
Well,
there's no way those parts got to be so cheap by now. They're, like, a decade old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems weird because the system should be directly backwards compatible with the GameCube.
Yeah, it's not like the PlayStation. If we take out the emotion engine of the PlayStation 3, we will obviously save a ton of money.
Right. But literally, it's the same like chipset running at a higher clock speed. It
yeah.
should be
with more memory.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, with more memory, it should be totally fine. It should be totally backwards compatible. So it's a little strange that they would that they're cutting GameCube support. It must be the port. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. We got a few Gamescom things. First up, a bunch of release dates got confirmed. First off, Zelda Skyward Sword is coming out on November 18th in Europe and then November 20th in North America. Fucking Europe gets it before us.
Nice.
The Last Story and Pandora's Tower confirmed for 2012 in Europe. We kind of knew that already, but now it's 100% confirmed. They were playable mm-hmm. at Gamescom, too. I believe they were English versions. Mm-hmm. They were playable at some event, I think like a Japan Expo in Europe, but they were the Japanese versions, and I think these were the English versions. There's a whole mess of 3DS eShop games. First up on Virtual Console, this week we're getting Gargoyle's Quest, or at least Europe is. I assume that North America would be getting most of these around the same time, as Europe and North America generally have the same schedule. I hope, for the love of God. 3D Classics Twin Bee is coming out in early September, I believe.
Oh boy, yeah. Another
and
shmup.
Then Mega Man. I think it's Mega Man Wily's Revenge, or the first Mega Man on Game Boy is coming out in the middle of September. And then sometime in quarter four, we're getting Metroid 2, Super Mario Land 2, and Bionic Commando, which I think is the original Game Boy one, not the Elite Forces one made by NST.
You know, I've still never played Metroid 2.
Me neither.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to get into that then.
But
I'm very excited for when it eventually comes out.
I hate all Metroid games, but if that one's different, then maybe I'll try it.
No, it's not.
Okay, then I won't.
Also, yeah. Die in a fire.
Eat shit and
die. Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Anyway, we also have a couple original eShop titles. There's Mighty Switch Force, which is a platformer that makes use of 3D, kind of like Wario Land, I assume. And that's from WayForward. Mm-hmm. They did Mighty Milky Way and Mighty Flip Champs and Shantae and all those awesome, rad 2D sprite-based games. Mm-hmm. And then there is Mutant Muds, which is from Renegade Kids. They're the guys who did like Moon and Dementium on mm-hmm. DS. And this is a really cool mm-hmm. like 2D platformer. I got to play it at E3, and it looks really, really awesome. Once again, it's kind of like modeled cool. after Wario Land on Virtual Boy a little bit, just as far as how it makes use of mm-hmm. you know, front or foreground, background, and middle ground. And there's like Zen cool. Pinball and Pyramids and some other shit. So, I mean, there's more original downloadable titles that don't look like they suck. So, or they're ports from phone games.
Yay. It's like Virtual Console after all. Sorry, that was overly negative.
But, yeah, that's about it with Gamescom. There's more release dates. You can check out the site. We have a whole bunch of news stories. And I guess the one last news note is that there will be a 3DS conference, or I believe it's a 3DS-focused conference, maybe not completely revolving around 3DS, on September 13th in Japan, which is you know, a few days before Tokyo Game Show. Nintendo usually does this, but apparently there's going to be major announcements. Yay!
I think it's basically going to be Nintendo saying, listen, you know we screwed up, we know we screwed up, this is how we're going to fix it. We have these games.
That's the key right there, right? We have these yeah. games. Please tell us which of these games that you have.
I think they know that they've got to fucking knock it out of the park with a really nice, like, with some really good game announcements. Because honestly, there were not enough at E3. Like, not nearly.
I mean, there were some good games that were revealed at E3.
Yeah, but they mostly seem to be Nintendo yeah. first party. Like, you know, we need to see some good third party games. Like,
yeah, I want a good Castlevania.
Castlevania,
yeah,
please.
Dude, that seems like a lock. Like, it seems like why would they throw away good money? Like, why? Would
well, they haven't made one for DS in a while either. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah, but how many did they make for DS? Like four,
three.
Thomas
I think.
Portrait of Ruin, Order of Ecclesia.
Yeah, three for DS, three for GBA. Sorry. But then it got real quiet over the last 3 years.
I'm sure it's coming. But like, you know, Andy and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, that Canvas Curse. On DS really was one of the first games on DS that really showed the potential of the system. And I feel like Canvas Curse was the game that ended the drought on
DS. We need
DS.
That game. And I don't know if that game will be
yeah, we need
Mario
that game
Land
on 3DS.
Or Mario Kart.
Luigi's Mansion.
For me, it will be Mario Kart because Mario Kart DS is, I believe, the best kart racer of all time. So if this game is half as good as that, then it will be the game that I pour hundreds of hours into.
I'm not sure either of those games can be that for this system, just because of how surprising Canvas Curse was. Like, we all know exactly what we're getting with Mario Kart and Mario Land 3D. Like, those are much known commodities. Canvas Curse, mm-hmm. really, I wasn't paying any attention to it before it came out. Then all of a sudden, everyone was just talking about it. It was everywhere.
Yeah. Is there a game, do you guys think, is there a game that currently announced 3DS game on the lineup that you think could be that game?
No, because everything's really a shit we've seen before.
Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of software that I want to buy on DS or 3DS, but it is a lot of like, oh, it's the next game in this franchise. It's going to be really good. You know, it's kind of a lot of that. I haven't seen too many like surprises, especially third-party surprises.
I want to find out what the WarioWare Rhythm Heaven team is working
Rhythm
on.
Rhythm Heaven Way?
Yeah. That would be nice.
Is Way Forward working on any original 3DS games?
Aren't they doing? No, that's Next Level is doing Legion.
Because that would do it. Maybe a new Shantae. Yeah. That'd be great.
Hey, how about a new Elite Beat Agents?
Oh man,
how about that, fellas?
Yeah, I take it.
That would. Except you know, for, I would you know, buy I mean, that day one.
That's kind of the problem with the 3D top screen is that Elite Beat Agents is a game that's completely focused around the touch screen.
Yeah, same with Canvas Curse is the problem.
It doesn't really matter.
Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Survivor Overclocked, that came out today. And apparently, I mean, it's a mouthful of a word, and it's actually a remake of a DS game, but that doesn't really use the 3D at all. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, here that doesn't. I don't care, because I don't play with a 3D on it.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, that game is more focused around the touch screen. So, I mean, it's an Atlus game, so it'll sell its paltry amount and probably do fine, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For what it's worth, I've been playing a lot of Canvas Curse lately, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I thought it would be irritating to play Canvas Curse in the 3DS because of how much higher quality the top screen was. At least when you boot this thing into regular DS emulation mode, it doesn't feel bad at all. That game really holds up.
I think if you hold select, it'll boot it into native resolution.
It's all tiny.
Yeah. Then
it's all tiny though. Yeah, but
yeah.
I mean, the fact is, like, even what we're talking about here about what we want out of the 3DS, we're all just basically bringing up franchises. Like, oh, I want this franchise on DS. You know,
it's hard to say. You know, I want this totally new original idea that I've never heard of.
Like, that is what we want. Like, we want to see something new from a third party developer.
Yeah.
At least
I mean, that's the thing. We haven't really seen anything overly new. I mean, I guess that one Capcom, like the Sound Adventure game. I mean, it's not like something that, like, you know, it's going to be crazy, but I think that could be like a cool, like Phoenix Wright-esque niche title that people that would be interesting and make use of the.
What was that?
In an interesting way.
What was that? What was that DS launch title from
Field of Magic?
From Sega? Yeah, Field of Magic. Where's our Field of Magic?
You know what I would want? I would want Sora after Kid Icarus to not make Super Smash Bros. Brawl and make a panel-upon game.
Oh, paneled upon, so good.
That's what I would want. How about that, fellas? How about a return to DS era puzzle games on 3DS?
Do them all in 3D.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would buy that.
Make them downloadable games. That'll never happen.
I don't care. Yeah. As long as I get them.
No, that won't happen.
We'll get paneled upon.
As long as I
Express
get them.
When 3DSi comes out.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just saying, like, I really, really liked those couple years on DS when puzzle games were selling like hotcakes, and we were getting a lot of them, and a lot of them were really, really good.
Yeah, interesting, like, new concepts like Meteos and stuff like
that. Yeah, like Meteos, dude. Yeah. Wow, God.
Even though
I
didn't really like Meteos that much.
I liked Meteos a whole lot.
Always thought Lumines was the much better Q Games puzzler.
Lumines was really good, too, but I mean, then you also had, like, Tetris DS was really good.
Oh, it's so good.
There's a Tetris game coming out the 3DS this year. That looks pretty sharp.
All right, well, maybe that'll be good.
Won't be as good as Tetris DS.
Nothing ever will.
Dude, I think whenever we go to PAX, we still see people playing Tetris DS.
I do. Yeah, it's
fantastic.
One of the games I always bring with me. It's freaking great.
Yeah.
And it's also really great for killing time while you're waiting in line for something.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway, but I would love to see something of that vein. Like, I would love to see a genre come back on 3DS, a la puzzles when they came back on DS. Like, that would be something really fresh and new that would really
Picross
get me excited
3DS.
About the system. Yeah. But hey, you know, in the meantime, I'll take my Mario Kart.
I
can't really complain. Yeah.
All right, so that does it for news. There was a lot of it to go through, and hopefully we'll have even more of it in the coming months.
Okay, so our first piece of listener mail comes from Sergeant Foster, who says, I hate to be a nagging Nancy, but I wonder what you think about the VC games being released. I understand the trickle release for 3DSware type games, but re-releases, ... I would rather see whichever games they plan to release, you know, all slash most slash majority of them from the start. I do understand the argument of who will buy Game Boy games with GBA games available. Wow, this guy's sentence structure is not very good.
You
oh, harsh.
Sorry, Sergeant Foster, I'm sorry. Just don't release or spend any time on Mary-Kate and Ashley Crush Course.
I was going to say, isn't that an N-Space game?
Do a bunch of those? if Mario Land and
great,
Mario
now they come, hate us.
Dude, I've actually, I talked to Ted Newman from N-Space about the Mario, Mary-Kate and Ashley, that Sweet 16 Learning to Drive, because I bought that for a friend as a joke. And he made a comment about how he made that. Like, you made that one? I bought that for my friend as a gag gift.
Sergeant Foster goes on to say, if Mario Land and Mario vs. Donkey Kong releases at the same time, one won't ape, ha 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 ha, sorry, ... from the other. In the age of ROMs, why may people wait to see if Wario Land 4 is coming? Just have it available so I can go and get it. Trickle out Pokemon, maybe the Mother 1, 2, 3 remakes that came out in Japan. I also think, compared to what Apple has allowed to happen, drop the prices on these games. Make them impulse buys. I'm not saying that 99 cents is the answer, but the drop of the 3DS price means you do what you gotta do to make do. Side note, I love the podcast. That reference won't touch base with anyone, because that podcast has never been released.
unless you drink unibrow beers. I saw that the other day and just had wonderful memories.
Oh, so good. Anyway, that's what Sergeant Foster says.
Mike and I have argued about this both on the podcast and on Twitter.
Oh, million times.
I will stand by this fact that all Nintendo has to do to make this trickling of games a little better and a lot easier is just like at the beginning of a month, beginning of a quarter, something, just be like, yo, guys, here is the release list of every virtual console game coming out for the next 3 months. Just get that out there. Yeah. Because what kills it is that we have this anticipation for Thursday, and, okay, the Europe releases have basically given us a pretty big tell as to what's going to come. Like, I would put money on the fact that Gargoyle's Quest is going to come to North America on Thursday, because it's announced for Europe, and last week Urban Champion came out in both regions. But you take away Europe, and we have no idea what's coming out every Thursday. And that's the problem, is that we all anticipate it, and we all check the shop, and if you know, the only thing that comes Urban Champion, and we didn't know about that before, and we're taking time out of our day to go on the fucking system and check it, of course we're going to be pissed off. I mean, it's great when we have gems come out and we're surprised.
Yeah, it's basically
not going to release gems every week, and you have to get real. It's either you have a fucking monkey running that, or you're aware of the quality when you're releasing a good game, and you know when you're releasing a crap game.
I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, like, I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. If you want a game to sell, you have to hype the release of said game. You can't just drop it
and
in the middle of nowhere and
it's
hope
funny,
that people pick it up.
Because that is the philosophy that the games industry has worked on for, like, the past two decades, is you have to hype a game up forever and then finally release it. And here they are, like, who knows what they're going to release. We don't find out until, like,
the morning.
3 hours before they're actually released. Like, 9 a.m. Yeah. And every week, like Neil said, every week I've been anticipating Metroid 2. And every week I've been excited because I think there's a chance that Metroid 2 might come out.
Because we know it's coming out this year.
And it doesn't.
Hopefully.
And it was especially this last week where I had gone on record like 4 or 5 times saying this is the first virtual over console week after the price drop. There's going to be something good. Fucking shit. Nothing. Fucking nothing. This week was... No first-party games outside of Urban Champion 3D Classic Remake. Why are they wasting their time?
Urban Champion is worth playing. And
who thinks Urban Champion is like Miyamoto, apparently.
He's a little positive on it.
Lord.
I don't understand. And it has been released numerous times over the years on various services. Like, why?
Who
at Nintendo signed a piece of paper that say, yes, spend money on this and make it so we can sell it?
if you go back into the RFN archives, I'm sure you can find an episode of Mike and I arguing this very same point about Wii Virtual Console. Oh, why the fuck would they release Urban Champion? I don't understand who wants to play this.
Someone at the company wants to continue learning from their same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah. Once we've gotten past all the good releases, sure, go ahead and put the crap up.
Yeah, it was like 3 games a week.
Do you guys remember when the Virtual Console first started releasing games? How many?
Yeah.
Or at least one of them was really good.
Unless you were like a special kid, you never had a TG-16.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I probably spent with it like in those early days, easily a couple hundred dollars.
I haven't really bought a virtual console game in a long time, but that first year there were so many good games constantly coming out, and I mean, partially because I'm obligated because I'm doing the bi-weekly feature over at GamePro plug. But I mean, I'm buying everything right now. Thank you, GamePro. But the thing is that like there are good games on the virtual console, and there are some of those like those gems that you didn't know about. I mean, I don't think Avenging Spirit and Fortified Zone are amazing, but they're interesting games. And unless you happen to get it as a Christmas gift, you never played those games before. Yeah. And for $3, they're totally worth plunging in on. And then you have stuff like DK94, and I mean, even Kirby's Dream Land's pretty fun.
Exactly.
But we haven't had a good solid virtual console release, like a notable title since Kirby's Dream Land, which was, I think, what, like 3 weeks into June? Like, oh, yeah. Picross came out, which is fantastic.
No, we had Picross come out. But, and that's even if you include the 3D classics, there's still, I mean, like, even if you include those, there still hasn't been a standout title.
It's kind of just like the 3DS as a whole with retail games, is that there are a lot of good games on it, but there's no standout title.
Right. I mean, look, you know, it's definitely a breath of fresh air. You know, why do you think you were so excited by the games they announced in the Ambassador Program? Because they're like, oh, finally,
content.
Good games that
I can download
on my 3DS.
In about a week.
So,
and a half,
Neil, you think
NES games that yes, we've all likely we're getting all.
Well, are we getting them all at once or not? Because I've heard both. I've heard both ways.
We got it. No. But I mean, at a minimum, what we're getting like Super Mario Bros. Okay.
Even though they haven't announced what the other five are yet.
Great to have them on my 3DS.
You know, I was thinking about the.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. I wouldn't be surprised if those five games that they announced are going to be for every region,
I wouldn't be surprised if the other five games may be region specific. But even still,
like Japan may get these
five games that they have announced are interesting enough to me that I really like. Yeah, I might be a little disappointed, but I'm not going to be supremely let down because either way, I'm still getting 10 free games.
My other thought was perhaps that all the titles they've announced for the Ambassador program are all first-party titles, and maybe that they haven't announced any other titles because they're securing licenses for third-party content. If the caliber of the first party games, at least the Game Boy Advance games, is of any indication,
maybe we'll get
Final Fantasy VI, they're good. The Game Boy Advance games are all fantastic games. So if we could get some quality, like Mega Man 2, if I could get Mega Man 2 as one of the NES games, that would be really nice. You know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
every week, just release Mega Man 2 over and over.
Just do
again.
It.
Yeah.
Why not put out 20 games and give us a choice?
Capcom's been doing it for years.
Every single week. It's a dynamite strategy. Can't lose.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on one of their thought. Not anymore.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch real quick on one other thing he mentioned in this email about doing it the way Apple does it, setting up impulse purchases. And if you have an iPhone or an iPad, or even if you have a Mac and you have the Mac App Store, Apple
it's like
has
you
made
click
it
a button
ridiculously
and you're just
easy to give
this.
Them money. It is scary easy to give Apple money. Yeah.
Seriously, do I have to enter in my credit card information every time I want to?
And it's that having to load funds into your wallet. Yeah. That's an extra step. It's
remember,
like four more pages of clicking that are
something
be,
that
giving me time to rethink my purchase.
This. Well, yeah. I guess after the next piece of listener mail. But I visited Tiburon to check out Madden on Wii last year. And they had a diagram that I think I took a picture of. I don't know where the fuck it is. But they had a diagram of what the franchise mode was previously, and then they kind of optimized it for Wii. And franchise mode previously was like a million fucking like screens, just like all this stuff. And then they streamlined it where it was just really simple and easy to use, you know, all pointer controlled, whereas the other one, you know, it was the old franchise from fucking PS2 and GameCube. Mm-hmm. But it's like the old franchise mode is what Nintendo does, and the new one is what Apple right. does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I work for a mobile game developer, and a lot of what we do, a lot of the way that we make money is with in-app purchases, which have to be super, super streamlined to make you actually spend money. The biggest barrier to entry for people to drop dollars on their games yeah. is not actually dropping said dollars. It's how many steps you give them to reconsider that option.
Yeah.
If you can just click buy, then you're good.
Yep.
Yeah, buy, type in your password, confirm, yes, no, done. Like, that's yes. three steps.
Yeah.
And if you look at, even the way Sony does it on the PlayStation Network, things are spelled out in real dollars, and you have that wallet, and you have to add mm-hmm. funds to the wallet. But if you don't have enough funds in the wallet, when you go to buy a game, like when you go to buy like the Scott Pilgrim game, which is like $10, if you have nothing in your wallet, you click buy, it brings up yep. a page that says, all right, we're going to add $10 to your wallet from your credit card that we have saved, and then we're going to yeah. deduct that $10 from your wallet, and they do it all in one seamless thing. It's not mm. it's you don't have to back out, add money, go back to the game page and buy the game. It's just, you want this game, great, but first you need money, here's a pop-up so you can add money, done.
Yeah, and it's similar on Xbox Live.
The only catch is that you need to add at least $5 to the wallet. So if you want to buy a $3 yeah. game, but and that's the same thing on the 3DS shop, is if you want to buy a $3 game, you have to add $5 to your wallet. But it's not a streamlined experience of, I can't just click buy and have the money automatically added. I have to go right. back out and
you
add money,
back out,
and go back and get the game paid.
Click a button to add funds.
Well, okay. I haven't done it that way, so.
You're doing it all.
It's not as simple. If they only really
clearly
all they really
the
need to do is save my credit card information and put a password on top of it.
There is no app store.
That's what everyone else does.
You know,
I don't need to
literally say, I want to buy this. Like, here is my money. Give me said thing.
You know, though, it is
fun bucks.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's a tax evasion thing. They don't have to pay taxes on it if they do it that way, which is why they all do it that way.
Next listener letter comes from Adolf Vega from Arlington. Adolf Vega writes, I know it's never safe to assume things with Nintendo, but should we assume that the NES and GBA downloadable games given to the 3DS ambassadors will be able to load on the SD card or save on the SD
yes.
card like the other 3DS downloadable software? I hate how DSiWare games are stuck onto system memory, and my 3DS system memory is almost full of DSi games, but the SD card has thousands of blocks open. All these free NES and GBA games may fill up systems easily if you cannot play them off the SD card. Neil, you know for a fact that they go with the SD card?
No. I'm saying it's safe to assume.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's safe to assume. I mean, other 3DS exclusive content can work on the SD card,
yeah.
so there's no
yeah.
reason to assume it would be locked.
I mean, I think
system.
That the big problem is, I guess, compatibility with the DSi and 3DS.
Yeah.
Because
also,
the DSiWare on the DSi systems can only be read from the system memory, so
yeah.
that's why. I mean, it's dumb, but that's the reason.
He also adds, any chance Kung Fu for the NES will be one of the free games, because he loved that game as a kid, and actually, so did I. Kung Fu is the very first video game that I ever beat. True story.
I've never played Kung Fu.
There's certainly a chance.
I don't know that it holds up particularly well, but it was never released on the Wii Virtual Console, which I think kind of puts it as a low probability. I don't know if maybe it's a publishing rights issue. I think the game was originally developed by IREM. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure
if it was published by Nintendo or what, but it is one of the original NES launch titles. I think one of the 18
yeah,
original NES
Ops
launch titles.
Yeah, I hope they put Dodgeball on.
Oh, dude, I love Dodgeball.
What about River City Ransom?
Dude, I've put so many hours into Dodgeball on Virtual Console on Wii. So good.
I didn't get an NES until the mid-90s. I got it gifted from my cousin, but I think Dodgeball was one of the first games that I got for it, and I played the shit out of that game.
That game is so good. Dude, when you can catch like a solid throw and like
yeah.
relay it back over. I mean, look, it's Dodgeball, but
yeah.
it was pretty fucking sweet.
They had the Dodgeball game on Game Boy Advance is fantastic.
Is it?
And
I never played it.
The DS one is, it's okay.
You're talking about the Dodgeball game that was done by the River City Ransom guys, right?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, same character sprites.
Super Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I played the NES one, and it was damn good.
And then, like, at the end where you fight, like, the Russia team, and then you fight the evil, you fight your doppelgangers that are, like, ghosts or something. Oh, man, it's crazy. And the music,
it's really good multiplayer, too.
Guys, I just thought, why isn't the Scott Pilgrim game on the 3DS?
That would be awesome. So, you know why? Because Scott Pilgrim crashed and burned.
The game is so good. That game is
the game that, a great game, but...
The game did not. I don't think it's so well, but... The game is probably my favorite game that came out in 2010, maybe.
Wow, really?
The game's really good.
It's easily my favorites.
It's beautiful.
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, downloadable games we want to see on 3DS, how about Splosion Man?
Yeah. Hell. I mean, I don't think that would ever happen.
It will, like, but it would be sweet.
Yeah.
Plus, those guys love Nintendo. They would love to put Splosion Man on a Nintendo system.
Yeah. By the way, Ms. Splosion Man, awesome.
I have it. It's really good.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of the multiplayer with a friend of mine. And that's really, I've had the most fun in that because it's fucking devious. It's a brilliant game.
Yeah, so, Miss Splosion Man is the best Sonic the Hedgehog game since Sonic 3.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that, but yeah,
it's
you're right.
So fucking similar. It's ridiculous, and it's really, really fucking good.
Yeah. Anyway, Kung Fu. Maybe it'll be a free game. We'll find out in a week and a half, or by a week.
Well, not even from the time this airs.
Yeah.
It'll be less than a week.
3 days in the past.
I'm excited. I have a big trip coming up the week of, I think, the second week in September. I know Neil does as well. So I will have plenty of shit to play on my 3DS. That's exciting.
Guys and also podcasters, 2 weeks from when this episode is released, I'm getting married.
So nice.
I'll be out a week, guys. Just letting you know.
You were the second director to get married while in office.
I guess it's Skip, Billy, and Johnny, unfortunately. Yeah. And I also happen to be missing a big event like Lindy did, because he missed E3, and I'm missing Tokyo Game Show.
Of course.
Were you really going to go to Tokyo Game Show, though?
Well, I mean,
exactly.
Just, you know, covering it and making sure that...
Yeah. How convenient that your wedding is during one of the busiest times of the year.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So... Let's move on to some of the last things that we're going to talk about today. The first one is Madden 12 on Wii, which I've been playing for the past week or so. The review will be up. The embargo's up on Friday, so I can talk about it freely now.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out next Tuesday, August 30th. And I'm, as you might know from what I've written and talked about in the past, I'm a real big fan of Madden on Wii. And what they did in Madden 12 is just, you know, make it better. But they also... I guess it took a little bit of the personality because they had this really cool, like, cartoony art style that really, I mean, let's get real. Wii games on the whole look like shit, especially when you compare them to 360 and PS3 games. So I played the demo for the Wii games version of Madden 12. That game is beautiful. Madden 12 on Wii, which now has gone back from, it left the cartoony art style, and it looks like a fucking PS2 game again, which is really disheartening. But other than that, I mean, the game's solid. The pointer controls I'm a big fan of, and they added classic controller support, which is one of those things that it's about damn time. And that's it's fine. It controls really well, and it still has, you know, the cool multiplayer. And, you know,
I wonder if poor sales of last year's game has pretty much convinced them to kind of just stop trying.
I mean,
can't really blame them.
I don't know. I mean, one of the things that I really have to give Tiburon credit, especially as someone that's been, I mean, just, you know, I've pretty much worked with, like, the EA PR on, you know, writing pretty banging previews for the past 3 years on Madden games, and just seeing how they really take feedback from what reviewers said the year before and put that into their game. And I assume that since they're doing that for the Wii version, they probably do that with the 360 and PS3 version. And I know people shit on Madden and, you know, NCAA and stuff like that for kind of having those really, you know, the small iterative changes, and then they have, like, the years where, like, they don't touch one mode, and the next year it gets a big revamp. But they're on really rush schedules, and I think what they have to do is they prioritize what needs to get done, and they do it. And, I mean, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out as well, but I think Tiburon deserves a lot of credit for doing what they've done with Madden for the past, decade and a half?
Sure. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, it's never easy to put out one game a year for a studio. That's fucking tough.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Tiburon's huge at this point. They have an entire fucking building in Orlando where they have, like, I think they were, well, they were working on that MMA game, which, did that ever even come out?
I think it just came out.
Okay, the EA Sports MMA game.
Oh, yeah. It came out. Oh, I beat that with one hand. Like, I played the demo for it, and I literally, like, you just have to, like, mash the analog stick and the A button, and you'll probably win. But, it's pretty bad.
I mean, if you think about it, they're doing NCAA football every year. They're doing Madden every year. I think they also do Tiger Woods every year. Like, Tiburon has, I mean, obviously they're different teams, but still, they're, you know, they hit deadlines. Damn it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. All
right.
But, yeah, I mean, Madden Wii, it's, I'll be completely honest, there's a limited market that appeals to this game, but as part of that limited market, I'm really enjoying it. Also, the Packers are fucking awesome in it because they won the Super Bowl last year.
Fuck the Eagles.
Yeah, seriously, dude. I'm actually, I'm halfway through a championship game where, I played like half of a season and then simulated the rest so I could check out like the off-season stuff. And I'm in the championship game, and it's against the fucking Eagles. But it's not even with their updated stacked roster yet, so I need to kick the shit out of that.
Does it simulate people getting spit on in the stands?
Does it simulate?
I mean, dude, watch out for that Oakland San Francisco game. Wait. I mean, it might be a little too soon, but
does it simulate Tim Tebow getting traded?
Does it simulate Tim Tebow getting cut and then like getting removed from the game?
Does it simulate Terrell Pryor doing all sorts of illegal activities with the Raiders?
Hey, Tim Tebow has a long career ahead of him as a sportscaster in Gainesville.
Oh, that's fucked.
You don't know, dude. I lived in Gainesville for a while, and there are former Florida quarterbacks who like sell used cars and shit. It's nuts.
I did get
there.
The city right, didn't I? Okay, yeah, because Tallahassee is Florida State. Just making sure I got the city right.
I mean, look, the fact is he could totally retire to Gainesville and do car commercials for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He could totally retire and do nothing for the rest of his life, and people would just like bring him tidings every week as long as he's lived in Gainesville.
I'll see you one Tim Tebow and raise you an Eric Crouch.
It's so funny. I mean, not to get on an NFL tangent here, but seeing just all the hate on Tebow, because like in the off season, or at least I guess during the lockout, all the stuff is like Tebow's going to start in Denver, and then like you know they started mini camps, and it's just like Tim Tebow is a giant piece of shit.
This is funny. This is funny to me because you are just now seeing the Tim Tebow hate machine, and I've been a part of it for the better part of a decade at
yeah,
this point.
I mean, the fact is, like, I have a lot of friends who went to UF. I'm sure Mike does as well. Like, you know, being in such close quarters between Tallahassee and Gainesville, like, most people are friendly between the two cities. But I think Tim Tebow is not liked by anyone in Tallahassee.
No.
Because he just seems too good. He seems like he's hiding something ridiculous. I'm just saying, eventually, one day, Tim Tebow sex scandal, I'm just waiting for it.
With other dudes.
I mean, look, this doesn't even have to be with a, I don't think it's got to be gay or anything, but like, you know, not, and I'm not, you know,
wait, wasn't that already reported? I mean, Urban Meyer, and that was a thing, right?
Oh, I mean, clearly there was a reason he kept starting, but I mean, you know, clearly
it has nothing to do
arm.
With the fact that he was a winning machine.
Why do you think Josh McDaniels even picked him in the first round in the first place? I think he crossed
Tebow.
The line.
He's got the power of God on his side.
Tebow hate cast.
I mean, I've got no real problem with the guy. I just
neither do
hysterical.
I. Honestly, like a friend of mine actually sort of knows Tim Tebow, and apparently he's like
so
the nicest
love,
guy.
And then just so much,
you know.
More
so
hate.
I personally,
as a football fan, thousands of miles away from your part of the country, I am not affected by Tim Tebow at all.
You might be, because, you know, he gets traded around so much, he might end up on your favorite team.
You don't seem to understand.
Iowa,
I don't follow
what
NFL.
What team is he going to follow?
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe they'll bump him back down to NCAA.
Like, unless the Florida Gators had played Nebraska in a bowl game in the last 5-6 years, it wouldn't fucking affect me whatsoever. I follow whatever NFL team has the most prominent former Nebraska players. Like right now, I kind of like that the Eagles have an awesome kicker, and I kind of like that Detroit has an awesome defensive line, and that's about as much as I give a shit.
That's the reason I remotely care about the Vikings this year.
Yep.
I just have a fascination with Philly sports because
they
have the best fans.
I mean, as someone who grew up
team,
around those fans,
like,
and being
a good friend of mine is a big Philly fan.
They're a bunch of dicks. I mean, New York fans are pretty bad too. And like you hear about the shit in like San Francisco and the Bay Area, those fans are pretty off the hook too. Because what was there? There was the Giants, or the San Francisco Giants and the LA Dodgers game where like someone died, and then the Oakland Raiders Niners preseason game where someone was shot. Like. Okay, so I think that just about does it, guys. We were going to talk about Kirby Canvas Curse a little bit, but maybe...
Spoiler alert, it's awesome.
Kirby Mass Attack is closer, so in like 3 weeks.
Holds up, it's excellent. Or play it maybe if you still have it.
But because Kirby Mass Attack is like the heir apparent to Canvas Curse.
Do it. Do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I might actually bust it out now because I'm kind of in a lull with games. Yeah. All right, later, guys.
I might have to find it.
Oh well, we're not gonna do any pimping.
Oh, all right, Carl, do your fucking pimping.
I'm just saying that the day after this podcast comes out, you can find me on Radio Free Nintendo, where I will be defending the honor of Killer 7 against three or four really very angry people, I'm sure. Then a mere 6 days later, or 5 days later, you can hear me on the latest episode of Box Office Poison over at crosstalk.com, where our movie of the month is going to be Return to Oz. But Mike won't be there because he has other things to do.
Unfortunately.
Jerk.
But I will tell you that I thought Rise of the Planet of the Apes was amazing.
Yes. It was. So those are all the places you can find me. Do it.
Yeah. And I guess because Carl's here and he's going to influence my pimping nature too. I had a review for Flight Control on WiiWare go up on GamePro. I also had a review for Cartoon Network Punch Time Explosion go up on NWR, but the GamePro one I get money for. And every 2 weeks, I do an eShop roundup for GamePro, and most of the time it's just me reviewing old DSiWare games because I have to review 8 games, and there's only like fucking 2 every 2 weeks. Nintendo, nice. Damn it. But it's fine.
I don't do anything.
Mike
is on this podcast.
You can listen to my podcast on crosstalk.com, Hardcore Nerdography, if you feel so inclined.
There you go. That winning endorsement.
Yeah.
That's a newscast.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.